in isolation for 10 days, so please continue to remember Val in your prayers. And also, as you know, we took a collection last Sunday for Operation Agri as part of our Harvest Festival. There are still some envelopes in the pew, so if you didn't make a contribution and would like to, it's not too late. Thank you. Thank you, Harold.
Good morning, everyone. Oh, good. That means you can hear me. Excellent. It's lovely to be invited here once more. Good to see you all. I bring you greetings from Walsworth Road Baptist Church in Hitchin, the church where I currently worship and am in membership. Pastor Andrew and the fellowship there send you their love and best wishes. I bring you greetings too from Breach Green Baptist Church in northeast Luton, whom I went to very and to North Bushy Baptist Church, whom I also visited a couple of weeks ago. And both congregations there, both fellowships, send you their love and best wishes. Edi persindetien gal kishet laimit mir ne leja shtiperi. I bring you greetings also from the Good News Baptist Church in Leja in Albania, where Pastor Mondi, a friend of mine, and my wife's the fellowship all send you also their love and wish to be remembered to you as they continue their work in what seems to be a distant place. But we are united. We are all part of one fellowship. And sometimes we feel a bit isolated and surrounded by goodness knows what. But we're not alone. The Church of Jesus Christ is universal. And we are one, one body. And he, the head. The words from the writer of the book of Proverbs. In chapter 9, it says this: anything you say to the wise will make them wiser. Whatever you tell the righteous will add to their knowledge. To be wise, you must first have reverence for the Lord. If you know the Holy One, you have understanding. And I love those first words from that chapter 9 and verse 9. Give instruction to a wise man and he will be yet wiser, as it was translated in older versions. So we're here this morning seeking for more wisdom, and in somewhat practical ways, I hope, we're going to be reflecting on the source of wisdom that we all share, God's Word, the Bible. And we celebrate and explore that this morning. Let's begin with some words that derive from the Bible in our first hymn this morning. God is our strength and refuge. If you're using Baptist Praise and Worship, it's number 308. I can't remember what it is in the other one. Let's, if those who all who wish to, please stand to sing. 308 in Baptist Praise and Worship.
Thank you.
Amen. Words from Psalm 46 that we've just sung. Let's pray together. We give you thanks, God, our Father, for the wonder of how you work with humanity, how you have loved your creation right from the beginning. We thank you for your creative word by which heaven and earth were made. Humankind was made in your image, able to hear and answer your call. We give you thanks for the written word, the lamp to our feet, the light to our hearts, the light that still shines and which we can treasure today. We thank you for your living word, the mystery of the word that was made flesh in the coming of Jesus Christ, who lived and died and rose again for each one of us, the very personification of your word. We thank you for the preservation of your true and living word in churches past and present that have remained faithful to your word. We thank you for your word to us in our own day, from the printed copy and from your Holy Spirit, that keeps calling us, patiently waiting upon us to respond, calling us to repentance, assuring us of your love, your living word that inspires us and points our way to our future. For your word, Lord, in all its forms, we praise you, we give you our thanks. Amen. Let's share together the words that we know so well that have been passed to us, led by Jesus Christ himself, as we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. So, we focus on the Bible this morning. Let's start with the book of Numbers. Or rather, not the book of Numbers, but some numbers. And let's see how familiar you are with some of the basics. If I say the number 66, what does that mean to you? 66. If anyone answers clickety-click, I will be very concerned about how they spend their evenings. White. Any other answers for 66? Ooh, that's worrying. It's... Thank you. It's the number of books in the Bible. 39 in the Old Testament. 27 in the New. Number of books in the Bible. Let's try something a little easier. If I say the number 4, what does that suggest to you? Several people muttering there, quite rightly, yes, Gospels. Possibly horses of the apocalypse, but I would prefer to think of Gospels. How about the number 5?
Pentateuch.
Thank you, excellent. Pentateuch, the 5 books of the law, the very first 5 books in the Bible. What about 17? I am 16, going on 17. No ideas? 17. It's the number of prophets. or prophetic books, five major and 12 lesser prophets. Although when you read them, they've actually got an incredible amount to say alongside the supposed major prophets. Well, if 17 is the number of books of prophecy, what is 13? Make a guess now. All those of you rummaging in the front of your Bibles are to be commended, looking up the lists of books in there and seeing what adds up to 13. Say again? You're not far off. I'm talking as mentioning disciples. 13 is the number of letters by Paul. 13 Pauline letters. How about 150? That should be easy. 150. I had one person, I think, get it right.
Psalms.
Thank you. Psalms, yes. A couple of people getting it right there. 150 Psalms. Okay, it's getting a bit trickier now. 80 plus, and possibly 365. But think 80 plus. And it's the most common of its kind. It represents a command of God. No, not quite, not that. Nice idea. There are actually 613 separate laws, 65% approximately of which are don't do that. 180 plus. It's the number of times the command is given, fear not. It's the most common command. Not love your neighbour. Not keep the Sabbath day, fear not. And if you look at different ways of phrasing fear not, you can actually pick one for every day of the year, if you look for it phrased in different ways. God says daily, fear not. That's quite something. How about 70 or possibly 72, depending on your reading? 70 or 72. Oh, good man. Yes, absolutely right. The number of disciples Jesus sends out as part of his mission work. More difficult. 490. Think what it's multiples of. I think we've got one person there. What is it multiples of?
7 times 7.
Thank you, yes. 70 times 7. How many times should you be forgiving? 4,000. Yeah, excellent. Yes, it's the other feeding. Yes, you're quite right. We all remember the feeding of 5,000. There's also 4,000. Well spotted. 31,102. Say again? You're in the right kind of ballpark.
One of the tribes, anyway.
You're the right kind of part. Yeah, it's the number of verses in the Bible. Somebody spent their time counting. I know we've been locked down over COVID and they're just having to find things to do. Well, that seems to be something. 144,000. Any other offers? But you're quite right, yes. Yeah, supposedly the number who are saved, but it's a number that is figuratively a huge number. And I do not believe it should be taken literally. I don't think God works quite that way. But 144,000 is the figure, meaning a huge crowd of people, God's people. How about a couple of dates? 367 AD, or CE if you want to have the common era. 367 AD. Any offers? Not that. Somebody said something over here? That came about a generation later. It's not far off that. It's already in trouble by then. But it was in that year that Athanasius compiled the list for the first time that we recognize today as the books of the New Testament. They were first defined. These were the 27 books. They were still arguing about all sorts of things. 2 and 3 John were a bit doubtful. Jude, they were very suspicious of. 2 Peter, question marks. But 3, 6, 7, they were defined. 1455. Is the date of the first Bible printing. The first printed copies were in the territory of Gutenberg and William Caxton later. The first printed Bibles. The Bible in Numbers. Interesting. Some of the things that we know, some of the things we thought we knew, some things we don't know at all, haven't thought of. What's in the Bible? How far do we know it? Has it dropped out because the Bible is less focused on, less read than it was? We're going to hear our first reading this morning from the second book of Kings. And we're going to hear the story of how the Bible, or part of the Bible, was rediscovered.
The reading is taken from 2 Kings, chapter 22, verses 8 to 13, and it's found on page 389 of the Bible. Shaphan delivered the king's order to Hilkiah, and Hilkiah told him they had found the book of the law in the temple. Hilkiah gave him the book, and Shaphan read it. Then he went back to the king and reported, "Your servants have taken the money that was in the temple and have handed it over to the men in charge of the repairs." And then he said, "I have here a book that Hilkiah gave me," and he read it aloud to the king. When the king heard the book being read, he tore his clothes in dismay and gave the following order to Hilkiah the priest, to Ahikam the son of Shaphan, to Achbor son of Micaiah, to Shaphan the court secretary, and to Uzziah the king's attendant. "Go and consult the Lord for me and for all the people of Judah about the teachings of this book. The Lord is angry with us because our ancestors have not done what this book says must be done." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. The rediscovery of God's word causing a national stir at the very highest level, the king himself. Wouldn't that be something? If the rediscovery of God's word could provoke the very highest levels here. Her Majesty, bless her, is a living example of what open faith can represent in terms of duty and consistency of conduct. It would be nice if that same thing could affect the highest levels of government, if the word of God could be as visible as that in the workings of our king, our country and its governance. Let's pray at some point that that will be the case. What they discovered there in the story of King Josiah, and I'll come to him later, was probably part of the book of the law, the Pentateuch, the first five books, the Torah, as it was known. Laws, they're fundamental to what's in the Bible and to life generally. What happens if they go awry? You have two sheets, and one of them is a list of a number of laws. If you would like to look at that sheet now, hopefully was everybody given a copy when they came in? Take a look at that list of laws. It starts with some from the United Kingdom and then goes to some from the United States. If you haven't had a chance to look at it properly, I will give you a minute now to do so, but what I would like you to do is to spot the ones that are fake. Which of these are not genuine? I'll give you a minute to look at it, mark it up if you want to with a pen or pencil, and then I will ask you for some suggestions of the ones that are fake. Everybody dreads silence at this point. Don't be frightened of silence. Okay, let's hear suggestions. Give a wave if you think you've spotted one that you think is a fake, is not genuine. What have you seen? Any suggestions? Any offerings? Wave a hand. We've got a hand here. Yes. The third one. It's illegal to be drunk in a pub. Okay. Any more suggestions? Yes. You would agree with that. Any more? We've got a lot of choice on here. Yes, please. The last one in that section? Yeah, illegal to activate your burglar alarm without first nominating a key holder.
Okay. Any more suggestions?
Be bold, as the song says. Yes. Okay, yeah. Any more suggestions? You sound as if you think they're all genuine. Any more suggestions of what you think?
Ice cream in your back pocket.
Ice cream in your back pocket. Oh yes, food, Georgia.
They're all fake.
That's an interesting question. They're all fake. That solves a lot of problems, doesn't it? They're all fake. How many of them do you think look sensible? On a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being they're all daft and 10 thinking they're very sensible, where would you put them?
1
is offered there. Any more suggestions? 1 to 10. Where do you think? Call out.
2 to 10, probably.
Okay. Any more?
You go with the
one.
Right. They're all daft.
They're all daft. Okay. Don't blame me, because some of them, when you look at them, some of them look utterly ridiculous. Why is it illegal to serve butter substitutes in prison in Wisconsin? Why is it illegal to take photographs of rabbits in the, between January and April in Wyoming without a permit? Why is it illegal for a man to knit during the fishing season in New Jersey? They look daft. Okay. At the time of compilation of this list, they're all genuine. At the time this list was put together, every one of them is genuine. Yep. So if you go and visit the Houses of Parliament, don't wear armour. Otherwise there could be trouble. And on no account be caught handling a salmon in suspicious circumstances. Whatever those circumstances will be. Laws can be problematic. And I wonder sometimes if we have problems when we read some of the laws that are in the Pentateuch, in the Torah. And yet we need governance in our lives. The Bible contains laws because that society needed governance, and it needed governance under God. And when we read that section of the Bible, part of that, let us remember there is God's wisdom behind it, not the kind of follies that we've just been looking at here on this page. But there is the wisdom of God behind what we read in the law. We sing once more, this time from Psalm 100, or based upon it. It's 394 in Mission Praise. If you have that copy, it's number 14 if you have Baptist Praise and Worship. We sing Jubilate, everybody. The Bible contains not only laws, but history. Very sadly, there are too many times where people disregard the historical value of the Bible just because it's the Bible. They think it doesn't mean what it says sometimes, particularly as a historical document. So let's have a look at some things to do with history. And books like the books of Kings, of Chronicles, of Samuel, give us an account of the history of God's people. How well do you know some of this? I'm going to show you some names of kings, and we're going to put them on our timeline here. We've got 1000 BC at that end, the age of Saul and David, and we've got 500 BC at the other end, which should give us about enough to get everything else in. So how well do you know some of the people, some of the famous kings that there are within the Bible's history? Let's take a look at one or two. How about this man, Uzziah, also known as Azariah, but you probably know him better as Uzziah. Where should he go? Right, I'm going to hold it up here. Tell me whether I should move to the left or the right and how far. King Uzziah, which way do you want me to go? You want me to go this way? About there? Sure? Any other suggestions? In fact, he's about here. Came to the throne in 791. Actually, you're not badly out, because he lasted until there. So, you're close.
Yes.
And where does his name come that makes him most famous? Where do you associate him with? Isaiah chapter 6. In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord enthroned in heaven on high. Isaiah's great vision of God. He's most famous for that. Uzziah reigned for over 40 years. Most of it very good. But for the last 12, he was struck by a dreaded skin disease and confined to the palace. And that was the end of him. His son Jotham was regent in his place. How about this one? Zedekiah. They're all scrabbling now for looking up. And who's Googling out there? Who's going to, which way should I go? Zedekiah. Any offerings? You want me to go that way? Any further? A bit more? Any other suggestions? He's saying that way. You think I should go that way? You think I should go this way? Well, you're right. I should be going this way. How far? You're right. Should be about there. Because Zedekiah was the last of the kings of Judah before the people were taken away into exile in Babylon. So he's down that end. Rehoboam. Oh, we've got an offering here. It should be down this way. Any more? You're saying go further? About there. You're right. You've done this before. This is encouraging. Yes. Saul, David, Solomon, and then the kingdom divides into Israel and Judah. And Rehoboam, son of Solomon, becomes the first king of Judah. And Jeroboam takes the 10 tribes of Israel into a separate kingdom. That's the split between the two. Jamash. That'll make him think a little bit more. Thumbing rapidly through. Where are we going to put Jamash? You're saying go this way a little bit. About there? Not too bad. He's about there. But you're on the right line. Yes, Joash came to the throne as a boy in spite of a palace, attempted palace coup by his stepmother Athaliah. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord in many ways. He was one of those who followed God, who was brought up, looked after by the priests in the early days of his youth, and became king and served God reasonably faithfully. What about this guy? Other people are allowed to play this game. Which way should I move him? Bit more. You're saying a bit more still. About there?
Yeah.
About there. Not bad. Not bad. It's actually almost contemporary with Joash, because Joash was the king of Judah and Ahab the king of Israel. And Ahab was definitely not one who did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. He has a famous wife who was... Thank you. Right. Not the prophet, the king. Where is Hoshea and why is he significant? Any offers? Not too many people Googling by now. Well, I'm standing more or less in the right place. It goes about there. And he's significant because he's the last king of Israel. In the 720s, the Assyrians come for them. And they take the land, they take Samaria. The kingdom of Israel disappears. And he was the last king of Israel. 722. Shall I just one or two more? What about Omri? Where does he belong? Everybody's given up by this point. You think he goes this way? Okay. Actually, he belongs up here. And he's significant, king of Israel. He is significant because he is the only king definitely attested in other archaeological evidence. He's on one of the monuments of the Assyrian king Tiglath-Pileser as one of the kingdoms that Tiglath-Pileser conquered. He is attested archaeologically separately from the Bible. He wasn't a good bloke at all. Let's have Josiah. We've heard words about him already. Definitely did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Where does he belong? Which way should we go? You think this way a bit. You say about there. Yeah, pretty much spot on. Yeah. Josiah is there. 640 BC, and after a succession of kings in Judah, remember there's no Israel now, they've gone, kings in Judah not following God, he has rediscovered the law of the Lord, and having it read and having the people follow it, cleanses the temple, doing what was right. Interesting challenge. How well do you know your basic history of the people of God? The challenge is to find out more, to know what these people did, what was right in the eyes of the Lord and what was not. What's the sequence of events? How can you see God's plan working through his people? I invite you to think about what you know as a result of this rather silly exercise of hanging the washing out. How much do you know, how much more could you know about God's people and what's happened to them, how their history works, how God's purposes and plans work through that? That's the challenge from that little exercise. Let's pause briefly and pray. And we're going to pray for people concerned with the Bible and its work today. Let's pray together. We've given thanks, Lord, for your word, your living word, in our hearts and minds, but also in the printed page that is your Bible, your Holy Scripture. And so we would want to pray for all those who are involved with Scripture, with the Bible. We pray for translators who make the Word of God available in so many languages, so many thousand different languages and dialects around the world. We give you thanks that you inspire them, you instill them the skills and knowledge to be able to translate your word faithfully and make it available throughout this planet. We pray for them that their work may continue and be strengthened. We pray for those involved in the practicalities of setting and printing and checking, those who do it on paper and in bound copies, those who work online to make it available digitally in so many different ways. We pray for them. We pray for their skills, that they may be maintained. We pray that they will continue to be persistent, watchful, that their work may be accurate, that your meaning of your word may come through clearly. We pray for all those involved with that work. We pray for those who distribute, those who work in shops and retail, those who drive the lorries, those who carry the boxes to bring Scripture into the hands of other people. And sometimes this means danger, where there are countries that are apathetic or hostile to God's word in their presence. We pray for all those who distribute. We pray for all those who work in broadcasting with your word, all those in the media of radio, television, the online social media. May they be filled with your spirit to speak boldly but with integrity. Let the message be clear from your word, not from their own personal desires of interpretation, but let your word be spoken truthfully, represented with integrity by all those who work in the media to spread your word. And we pray for all those who possess your word in conditions of uncertainty and danger. We pray for all those in countries such as Pakistan, Iran, parts of the East Indies, for those in northern Nigeria who find themselves as Christians surrounded by people of other faiths who are hateful towards them. We pray for Christians in India who are coming under increasing pressure. We pray for Christians within Israel. We pray for Bible colleges that seek to teach the understanding of your word. I would remember in particular the Bible College, the Evangelical Center in Nazareth, which seeks to teach those who would be pastors and teachers in Christ the meaning of the Bible and how to understand the word truly. A place of Christianity surrounded by hostile Arabs and Islam. We pray for their safety and for their enrichment and for all such Bible colleges. We pray for the Bible colleges in this country too, that their teachers may be inspired and that students will come forward willing to serve you, to spread your ministry. We remember all those today involved with making your word available, and we pray for them. Amen. Okay, maybe you didn't pass the history exam, but I'm sure you know something more of the Bible. You probably remember phrases. There are words, there are proverbs, there are sayings that are common to us now that we use. Am I my brother's keeper? That rings a bell probably for you. Yeah, absolutely. Cain and Abel. By the sweat of your brow. Yes. Scapegoats and scapegoating. Where's that come from? That's right, yes, the goat that is released into the desert to take away the sins of the people, released ceremonially, the scapegoat. Bite the dust, as in the song. For everything there is a season. There's no rest for the wicked. Like a lamb led to the slaughter. All phrases like this, which we link, perhaps we don't link, to the Bible. I wonder how closely do we get them right? What about a man after my own heart? Is that a correct quote from the Bible? Nod for yes or shake for no. Is it a quote? Is it a correct quote? Yes, no. If you're still, I'm assuming, don't know, which is revealing. There's a big nod in the middle there, and you're right. Yes, that phrase is genuinely there. 1 Samuel, yes. By the skin of your teeth. I can see one or two people nodding and a lot of still heads. And I can see one or two people nodding very slightly as if they mean, I don't know, but I think I'm going to pretend I do. It is right, it is correct. It's in Job chapter 19 and verse 20. What about spare the rod, spoil the child? Is that there? Not in those words. Not in those words. If you look at Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24, you'll see it puts it a little differently. It's a bit like it, but it's not the same. What about pride comes before a fall? Is that there? Pride comes before a fall? They've got a shake of a head in the middle. And you're right, not in those words. Again, it's in Proverbs. It's in chapter 16, verse 18, but it doesn't put it quite like that. A drop in the bucket. How about that? It was used in the film Chariots of Fire. A lot of shaking of heads. Now that one is there. It's Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 15. And the film correctly has Eric Liddell reading those words, speaking about those words in the course of the film. Baptism of fire. Is that there? A lot of nodding of heads there. Again, it's not a full quote, not an exact quote. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. You don't get the phrase baptism of fire, but you get baptism and you get the idea of fire. But it's not quite as it's been compressed. Money is the root of all evil. Money is the root of all evil. Thank you. Well done. Yes, the love of money. 1 Timothy, I think, chapter 5. Love of money, the root of all evil. We have lots of these words. I've used quite a number there from some of the books of poetry, as well as from other sources. Well, let's hear a little bit of poetry from Psalm 139. We're going to hear some verses from this, one of the most beautiful expressive psalms.
This is on page 622 of the Pew Bible. It's Psalms 139, Psalms 139. And I'll be reading from verse 1 to 10 and 23 and 24. Lord, you have examined me and you know me. You know everything I do. From far away, you understand all my thoughts. You see me whether I am working or resting. You know all my actions, even before I speak. You already know what I will say. You are all round on every side. You protect me with your power. Your knowledge of me is too deep. It is beyond my understanding. Where could I go to escape from you? Where could I get away from your presence? If I went up to heaven, you would be there. If I lay down in the world of the dead, you would be there. If I flew away beyond the east or lived in the furthest place in the west, you would be there to lead me. You would be there to help me. Verse 23, examine me, O God, and know my mind. Test me and discover my thoughts. Find out if there is any evil in me and guide me in the everlasting way. This is the word of the Lord.
And we sing together from Baptist Praise and Worship number 100, God has spoken by his prophets. Present offerings for the work of God here in this place. Let's pray together. We give you thanks, Lord, for all that you have given us, especially today, the gift of your word, so freely given by so many who have translated and explained and expounded your word, your gift to us, showing your love and care. We bring you these offerings and other offerings of our words and deeds this week. We would bring those to you and offer them. Our thoughts and ideas, we would offer them. We make ourselves an offering to you as well as these gifts. Use them for your service and to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to hear one more reading about God's word being rediscovered from the book of Ezra.
From Ezra chapter 8, reading verses 2, 3, 5, 6, and 9 to 13. This is the list of the heads of the clans who had been in exile in Babylonia and who returned with Ezra to Jerusalem when Artaxerxes was emperor. Gershom, of the clan of Phinehas. Daniel, of the clan of Ithamar. Hattush, son of Shechaniah, of the clan of David. Shechaniah, son of Jahaziel, of the clan of Zattu, with 300 men. Obadiah, son of Jehiel, of the clan of Joab, with 218 men. Johanan, son of Hakatan, of the clan of Akzgad, with 110 men. Eliphelet, Joel, and Shemiah, of the clan of Adonikam, with 60 men. They returned at a later date. Thanks be to God.
All these individuals associated with returning to God's place, going back to serve God, be part of his kingdom. And that's the challenge to us today, to return to God's word, renewed in our focus and our priority on it. Think about it. The Bible has laws. We are governed. The world, the universe, the cosmos is governed by God. And in reading of God's laws, we can be reminded of his governance of our lives. The Bible contains history. And we are reminded as we read that God has a plan for his people, for all who would serve him. And we can learn of how he works and interacts and intervenes with his people as we read his history. It's not a book of lives of the saints, because so many of his people were sinners, and yet God loved them as he loves us. Let us learn from the history. Let us learn from the poetry, the Psalms and the Proverbs and the other books that are expressive in ways that are not just literal, but have image and symbol and metaphor within them. We can express ourselves in ways that seek to interact with the inexpressible that is God. And yet through poetry and such language, we can begin to understand and to represent. And in the books of prophecy, we are reminded that we not only have to speak for God's plan and what his future is for this world, but to speak on his behalf. The word prophetes means one who speaks for someone else. And in our words and our witness in this world, that too is our task, as it was for the prophets major and minor in biblical times. And then there is the New Testament, the ultimate revelation in Jesus Christ of God's plan, his love for each one of us, his plan for our salvation. The challenge to live as Christ lived, with his example. You're going to take your homework with you. And that's the other sheet that you were provided with this morning. And it's a section from the first letter to the Thessalonians. We're probably very familiar with Acts chapter 2, verses 42 and following, the description of the early church and how it lived. Romans chapter 12, Become living sacrifices. Do not conform to this world, but be transformed. A list of how to live. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, which has similar ideas. The later chapters of the letter to the Colossians and the letter to the Ephesians. But this is one that is perhaps less familiar. And I invite you, as you reflect upon what we've done this morning, to take that sheet home with you and to use it as a checklist for your lives today. How do we match up with some of the promptings that Paul has given here? How do our lives conform, match with these ideals that Paul has given to the young church? We're not so young, we have the benefit of 2,000 years of history. How do we live? Looking at this, take a time, sometime maybe in the next few days, to reflect on what we've thought about and mark your own homework, because you won't be alone. Somebody else, the presence will be with you, and you can answer to him. We'll finish, as the Bible finishes, with a glimpse of the book of Revelation, because the words of our last hymn pick up the vision of the end times and what we can see. 271 in Baptist Praise and Worship. Come and see the shining hope. I'm sorry I've kept you rather longer than you might have wanted to. It's difficult to get the Bible into one session. We pray together. Now to him who is able to keep us from falling and to present us without blemish before the presence of his glory with rejoicing, to that only God, our Saviour, be glory and majesty, might and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all time, now and forevermore. Amen.